I feel good.
Dad, are you singing to your cereal?
Come on, Ava. Silk almond milk starts the morning on a high note.
Silk almond milk.
With calcium, vitamins A, D, and E.
Feel plenty good.
Welcome to Smart Companies Thinking Bigger Radio. Get the inside scoop on how America's most successful business owners transform their entrepreneurial vision into reality. And listen in as some of the top business minds in the country serve up practical advice, tips, and insights for growing your business. Now, here's your host, Kelly Scanlon.
Good morning. Welcome to Smart Companies Radio. I'm Kelly Scanlon, publisher of Thinking Bigger Business Media. Our guest today is Ryan Wise. He is the founder of a technology company called Code Koalas, and we're very excited to have him here today because not only does he have some great tips for all of you small business listeners, but he was one of the class of 2018, 25 under 25, that we honored just this past weekend at the Muehlbach downtown. So congratulations to you, Ryan. We're really excited to have you here on the show today to talk about your company and about technology.
Yeah, I'm excited. Thank you.
Absolutely. The name of your company is Code Koalas. Before we go anywhere else, how did you come up with that name?
Yeah, so, you know, we started off real small, just me working out of my basement, and there'd be a lot of late nights and things, and my two-year-old daughter would come down the stairs and hang out with her stuffed koala while we worked on websites and things, and so we took that idea and ran with it and came up with Code Koalas.
Oh, that's a great name. So it honors your family, and then it gets the, you know, code in there for the technology. It's a perfect combination. You said, you know, you started out on your own. You're actually self-taught when it comes to what you do. How did you get into it? What spurred your interest?
Yeah, I mean, I'd always been interested in technology and, you know, built computers and played around with them when I was younger, and just kind of always had a desire to solve problems and code. So eventually I just picked up a book and taught myself.
Okay. And did you have any prior entrepreneurial experience? Did you have any kind of business experience before you started the company?
No, no business experience. So it's been an adventure and a learning process for sure.
Yeah. What have you done to fill in those kinds of business gaps? There's so many people who get into business with a particular skill and really not a good foundation on the, you know, business blocking and tackling. So how have you learned that?
Yeah, so a number of ways. So a lot of reading, and actually instituted that as part of our company, that we read a book every couple months together. So I've gone through a lot of business books, and my company has too. And then I was also able to join HEMP here a couple of years ago, the Helzberg Entrepreneur Mentoring Program. So I've got a veteran CEO who I can meet with monthly and bounce ideas off and get things from. So that's been fantastic.
Okay. So you've looked outside of your company and turned to other experts instead of trying to do it all yourself, which is a great thing. You mentioned that you started on your own. How have you grown the company? How many employees do you have, and what prompted the growth?
Yeah, so we're up to 14 right now, and the growth was always kind of a desire there. I knew I didn't want to be a one-man shop doing everything, and so we just, you know, kept building websites and working with a lot of agencies in town and building relationships there, and I always knew that, you know, there's so much that goes into a website and technology that it can't be a one-person thing. So mm-hmm. I always had sights on growing that and adding expertise and people as we can.
What do you think has been the, I guess, secret sauce, if you will, for your growth? What has been so instrumental in going from one person, you, to 14 in actually a relatively short amount of time? What's set you apart? You know, because frankly, there are a lot of other companies out there that do things that are similar to what you do, but you're obviously doing a lot of things right and growing.
Yeah, I think it's an attitude of learning and humility. That's part of our culture here. So we're able to attract and keep talent, for one, because we'll take people who are maybe a little more junior and give them opportunity to grow and get better and get mentored on the technology side of things. And then, you know, we're just really easy to work with. We do what we say and we get it done and we figure it out. So that starts to build up over time with referrals and people appreciating what you're doing.
Yeah, so you build those relationships and you, like I say, you do what you say that you're going to do. You build that kind of trust. When you said that you hire maybe less experienced people and give them opportunity to grow and to be mentored, do you have any kind of formal mentoring program within your company, or is it, you know, you assign them with your not longer term, but your employees who have been there for a longer time? How does that mentoring work?
Yeah, so we pair them with a more senior developer, and we give them. Pretty much everyone who starts has kind of a example project that they work through. So they get an opportunity before they, you know, get on real client work. They go through that for a couple of months and get feedback and improve. And then they work. And it's really a collaborative nature here. So even a junior employee who's doing something to a project has it reviewed by a senior employee, but then the senior employee also has their work reviewed by another employee. So we make sure that there's kind of two sets of eyes on everything before it goes out. So
yeah, so a kind of a peer review, built-in peer review you've got going on there. Let's talk about some of the things that you offer. You've mentioned websites, that you build websites. Anything else?
Yeah, we also build apps, which is kind of a broad category. So it's worth kind of defining that. When you say apps, most people think, you know, what's on their phone, which is true, and we build those, but it also is kind of more generic for, you know, it can be a website that has app-like functionality that's either mobile for your phone or desktop. So a lot of people use, you know, a CRM or something like that on their day-to-day basis, and if it's through a website, that's also kind of considered an app.
Yeah, I bet most people didn't realize that. And so, you know, you always hear this question about, does your company need an app? And I think most people are thinking about some specialized thing that you have on your phone. But when you talk about the broader sense, I'll ask you that question and see how you respond.
So there's a lot of different opportunities for that. And most people are thinking, well, I don't have a customer who wants an app on their phone.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the typical use case. But there are a lot of companies that could use an internal app, from estimating things for customers to taking things that are in Excel spreadsheets and written down processes and putting that into, you know, essentially a website you go to, but it's really an application that steps you through the company process. And then, you know, automatically ties into other systems and puts that information out. So most companies, I would say, do need some kind of app. Everyone has internal processes that could get better or have something that they can offer their clients that makes interacting with them a lot easier.
Sure. And in the latter case, not talking about internal processes, but in the latter case, I'm thinking of, for example, if you've been to your doctor, most doctors' groups these days have what they call patient portals. When you go to their website, you can log into your patient portal and see your latest lab results and the medications and things like that. So would that be something similar to what you're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. That would be considered an app. And so it's hard, and it really kind of depends on who you're talking to and mentality, because when you say website, someone might think of that portal. But I think generally when you say website, people think of just your static, I go to the homepage, I go to the about page and contact us, and that's a website. And you don't think of your doctor's patient portal as a website. You think of it as more of an application you use. And on the development side, it's kind of two different approaches. You know, you're really doing a design and copywriting for a website, whereas an app, you're really getting into functionality and kind of workflow process.
Let's talk about your end user, which would be somebody like me, other small businesses. You know, what is your target client, I guess, first I should ask you?
Yeah. So we're looking for really for people who are trying to do something innovative. And that's, you know, small businesses, startups, and even some large enterprises. The kind of coding we do is not like a generic, simple website. We're really trying to integrate into back office systems and do the more complicated tasks. So we're looking for someone who has a vision for their company and is trying to use technology to, you know, save costs or do more and can see the value that that can bring.
What kinds of mistakes do you see or mindsets perhaps that are not where they should be when it comes to your business clients? What mistakes are they making?
Well, one common mistake is, my cousin knows a little bit of programming and I'm going to have them do it, or we're going to hire someone out of college and we're going to have them come in and do it. And that generally that turns into, usually it's cheaper in terms of money they're paying, but it usually turns into years and years of frustration and energy sunk into something that never quite works right. And so that's the mistake, trading the, you know, the upfront money for the long-term kind of cost and pain and suffering.
Yeah, that's very true. You know, something I hear businesses say occasionally is, you know, all this new stuff's coming out, but for what we do, you know, stuff I've been using for the last 5 years works just fine. I don't need all the other things. Is that a fair assessment?
I mean, I think that's common. People don't really want to change, and people especially don't want to kind of stick their neck out there and, you know, try something new. But so much is happening with technology and development that, you know, you have one or two people on staff that could be doing more client-facing type work or something more productive for your company, and they're juggling spreadsheets because the system you're currently using is 80% of what you need and they have to export it and go do something else. I think a lot of people don't get down into the details of what employees are doing and realize that technology can actually bring a lot of efficiencies there.
Let's say I'm a company that is dealing with that situation right now. Either I got somebody in the beginning who really didn't, they knew enough to be dangerous is what I like to say. You know, they knew enough about what they were doing to be dangerous, and now I'm paying the price further down the road. Or, as you say, I'm using some old technology and I'm having to string some things together, cobble some things together in order to make everything work. And maybe there's some parts that still don't integrate. How do I get through that? How do I overcome it? Do I just have to like just clean house and start from scratch, or are there ways to gradually, bring my team up to speed with the newer technology? What are your suggestions there? And I know this is very general and very hypothetical. Every case is different, so I don't mean for you to, you know, have to drill down to that level. But in general, what do you recommend?
Yeah, so what we like to do is we like to set up a meeting with potential clients on our side and take an hour to kind of talk through things and really help them narrow in on where they can see the most cost savings or, you know, the most benefit from new sales and focus in on that item and then determine, okay, if we make this change, you know, how much is that going to save you? And that kind of helps set the budget. And then from that budget, determine, okay, do we have enough here that we can throw things out and start fresh, or do we need to start simple and, like you said, take a phased approach of let's fix this one thing first and start realizing some money back into the system, and then we'll move on from there.
Okay. You mentioned mobile earlier, and that's still a very hot topic. Do you think that every company needs to pay attention to mobile, or are there certain companies that need to pay more attention to it? What would you say to our listeners today who are wondering whether or not they need to fully engage on the mobile side of things?
Yeah, at this point, every company needs a really good mobile website. There's no way around it. We are still working with clients today that we are helping their websites be more mobile friendly. But the reality is that over 50% of, you know, search results or searches by people are done from mobile devices. So that means that most of your people are seeing the mobile version of your website and not the desktop version. And then Google is also adjusting their rankings based on how good your mobile website is. And so you will be costing yourself business, already are, if you don't have a good mobile website. And it's not just that it kind of works in mobile. You know, Google is actually testing things to make sure you have everything there that you should and that it's a good experience and ranking based on that.
Exactly. So for no other reason, you should make sure that you have a fully functioning, your website fully functions on the mobile platforms so that you get good rankings in Google searches, for no other reason. So Ryan, what would you leave our listeners here with today? What piece of advice when it comes to technology would you pass along to them as we wrap up here?
Yeah, I would say reach out and find someone you trust and talk with them and get input. It's easy to get focused in on your business and what you're doing and not know what's out there. And even an hour and a couple of simple hints can make a dramatic difference in what you're doing.
Thanks so much for your time today. We wish you lots of luck as you continue to grow your company. And if someone would like to visit your website and find out more about you, what's your website?
Yeah, so it's codekoalas.com.
Okay, koalas spelled just like the little furry animal, codekoalas.com. Ryan, again, thank you for your time. We really appreciate it, and congratulations once again on your honor this weekend.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Absolutely. And if you'd like to learn how to grow your business, please visit our website at ithinkbigger.com. Follow us on Facebook, Thinking Bigger Business, or on Twitter at ithinkbigger. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.